Eric Engels joins us from Sportsnet in Montreal. Your thoughts on this deal? The Montreal Canadiens and Marc Bergevin, they're never afraid to give us the big hockey deal in the summer, hey?
No, apparently not. But you know what? It's a deal that works out so well for both parties. You look at Steve Yzerman, who held his ground for a long time in the Drouin dossier, you know, had opportunities to move him for different types of players, desperately wanted a defenseman, a young defenseman, and ends up with the ninth overall pick from last year, who arguably, outside of Austin Matthews, could be the best player in that draft. So, you know, it's a guy that I know that Marc Bergevin was not willing to move for just about anybody. But, you know, he saw an opportunity to get an elite top six forward, a guy who can play at the center position if asked, or he's a puck distributor. There's no question as to what Jonathan Drouin is. He's a stud. You know, he's a stud player, tons of talent, a smart player on the ice. And, you know, for all the talk that we've heard about, you know, his controversial past in Tampa Bay, there's never been a question about what this player's work ethic is. You know, he's a guy that in the junior ranks used to go to the outdoor rinks after practice and play for hours. So, you know, Montreal has the opportunity to get their hands on a player that fills a quotient that was so desperately missing for so long. You know, Marc Bergevin struck while the iron was hot, and you got to give him credit for that.
I will say this, though, because some people are commenting, some people are tweeting, and it's like, this is just a numbers game. This is an expansion draft. They had to trade him because they got to protect their other guys. And I don't buy that for a second. I think it helps. But I'll ask you this, because guys like Drouin, who's, yes, you're right, like, you cannot question the guy's talent. The guy is going to be a star in Montreal. He's going to score a ton of points. You know, we can see that coming a mile away. But if Jonathan Drouin and Steve Yzerman and the Tampa Bay Lightning do not go through the process, the very ugly public process of a year, year and a half ago, is Jonathan Drouin even remotely available today?
It's really hard to answer that question. And, you know, I don't think it's just to do with that. It's definitely a factor. It opened the possibility and all the chatter that went on over the last year and a half. But at the same time, you know, you have this cap situation in Tampa Bay where Yzerman pulled off a miracle with Stamkos and Hedman getting them to sign for what they signed for. But, you know, with Killorn signed, with Johnson and Palat in that situation, it became a volatile situation for Drouin in Tampa Bay. And, you know, the fact that he wasn't fast-tracked when he felt he could be in the NHL and John Cooper felt otherwise, you know, the minute they did give him the chance, I think he proved himself. I think they got over those hurdles to really answer your question.
Well, they made us think they did.
Yeah. Well, I think it does come down to a numbers game. I'm not sure it comes down exclusively to the expansion draft, but I also think that when the situation happened and unfolded as it did, and it generates the type of discussion where you're looking at trades with St. Louis, you know, guys like Robbie Fabry being thrown around, it opened up the door for Yzerman to continue to listen on this player. And I think, you know, the cards fell as you may have anticipated. Now the ramifications, as far as this trade is concerned, are really interesting. Is Montreal going to have a deal in place right away for him to sign as a restricted free agent? How is this going to affect their view of Alex Galchenyuk and their plan with him? Obviously, a name that's been in many rumors dating back, you know, probably to halfway to the season. You know, I wonder if Montreal, having just lost their best defensive prospect, could be looking to a team like Anaheim and their young defense and potentially considering trading Galchenyuk there. You know, we know that Galchenyuk in Montreal as a restricted free agent is likely headed for a one-year deal. Is he willing to accept that? Is it going to be contentious? Do the Canadians have a design on doing that and then ending up in a situation where he plays great, they've got to sign him for big money and have to move him anyways because they have Carey Price on the books? You know, this is all instant reaction to things that are running through my head as a Canadians insider. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Marc Bergevin has to say later this afternoon.
Doesn't everything long-term come down to the ability to get Carey Price on any semblance of a team-friendly deal?
I don't, you know, yes. I mean, I think when you look at a move like this, you wonder what kind of influence that could have in that process. You know, beforehand, the entire way that the organization talks about Carey Price and the way they depend on him to be the best player in the world, there's no incentive for him whatsoever to sign at a discount. Like, Like, it's just logical. Like, why would he sign at a discount when the team needs him to be the very best player in the world and has depended on him as that over the last number of years? That said, can they convince him to take less by making aggressive moves like this and building a team that has the potential to compete with Edmonton, with Toronto, with Buffalo, with Philly, with Pittsburgh, the teams like Carolina that we're going to be talking about for the next number of years? I think Mark Bergevin made a great move and potentially helped his case today.
This simplifies things, and I know Crimey River for Carey Price. I love Carey, but at the same time, In my estimate, in a cap world, he's going to have to decide between making a record number of money and competing for a cup. Like, it's one or the other. I don't think you can pay him 10, 11 million and put together a roster that is everything they need it to be.
Yeah, I think that's what you and I think. I'm not convinced that that's Mark Bergevin's mentality. You know, he's been talking for a long time that so long as you have Carey Price, you have a chance. And I think you do. You know, I think you do have a chance that one year they could get through. And even if the model hasn't generated that in the cap world, I think you do have a chance that one year he catches complete fire and becomes an unstoppable force that takes them all the way. I think that's something that Mark Bergevin believes. But I also believe that, you know, if they can get it done for a reasonable number, and what's a reasonable number in his case, $8.5 million over 8 seasons? You know, I don't think going much lower than that. And if that tends to be the case and he can build this team with guys like Jonathan Drouin and Alexander Radulov and, you know, what they have on defense, and potentially they make another move and end up with a young defenseman that has potential like Sergachev did, you know, the chances increase significantly from year to year as opposed to just getting lucky one year.
Yeah, the hole still exists up the middle with this team, Eric, and you floated out the possibility of Drouin moving to the middle. We're still not sure what the future holds for Alex Galchenyuk. I mean, are we talking about filling that hole through a subsequent move, or is there an internal solution to this?
There doesn't appear to be an internal solution. I think Mark Bergevin is going to explain in a few hours, so there's no point in speculating, but I have to think that they believe that this player can play center. And potentially have designs on putting him there. If all things remain equal and nothing changes between now and the season, I have to think that's where he slots in. And potentially centering a line with Alex Galchenyuk to his left, which is a pretty lethal talent combination. He is a puck distributor. He's a guy who's played center at various levels, internationally, both at junior and also a little bit professionally. He's still a young player. He is not 5 years into his career here. He's had a couple of seasons at most in the NHL, and the potential for him at all three forward positions is significant.
It's a weird time in Montreal because the season just ended, and Habs fans, and I know it was the talk of your town, the farther PK Subban went, the more maybe the heat shone down on Mark Bergevin. Wouldn't you know it, he's the first GM to pull out a big swing just days after the Stanley Cup final ends. The average Habs fan, are they more even wary of hearing about these deals now because of what they just went through?
Yeah, I think they are. Like, you couldn't find a team in the league that was more in need of a good news item than the Canadiens.
Sure.
This is definitely one of them. We know what the missing quotient was on this team. It's offense, and it's specifically offense from up the middle. There's so many possibilities moving forward. As far as how the fans are receiving it, I think this is the beginning. You know, this is the beginning. We haven't even hit the expansion draft. There's going to be a lot of talk and a lot of movement, I would say, between the teams, with teams probably knowing in advance who's going to be on whose protected list. Just like Vegas has been pegging names to a board all season long, all these teams have done their respective homework, and they've been thinking about each other too, and I'm sure that discussion leading back a couple weeks has probably been rampant. So I think, you know, for Canadiens fans, this is probably, I think they were pretty bitter and resentful, with the team not even making it 7 games against New York Rangers team. They swept in the regular season. They couldn't score goals.